Hello there, and welcome to the No Script Show. This is the fourth in our series looking at components that make up a website. Today, we're looking at testimonials, block quotes, pull quotes, and the site element, and how these are most likely coded wrongly. As with other episodes in this series, we'll be considering these from a technical, design, accessibility, and SEO perspective, and we'll follow up this chat with a YouTube video looking at some coded examples. This time, it is slightly different in that we will be focusing on the HTML markup in this podcast, as there is a surprising amount to cover, and CSS styling is what we'll cover in the follow-up video-only content. As always, joined by David Walmsley, who's over there. Hello, David.
Hello.
Hello, Nathan Wrigley. You're sporting a slightly different background.
Yes, yes, I'm in London. Usually I'm in India, but we're a bit closer. We were almost close, actually.
Yeah, we nearly got to see each other.
Yeah, it'll happen in this time. But yes. Anyway, let me move on to this, because you were the one who really set me off on doing this topic a bit earlier. We would have done it anyway, because you shared with me a video by Kevin Powell called "Is HTML the Hardest Language?" And he was demonstrating with his, you know, followers and everything how everyone, he gave them a card component to kind of code up. And everybody did it in slightly different ways, which really asked, what is the semantic way? And this really reminded me of a post by, or a series by Hayden Pickering, where he's looking at various HTML elements. And yeah, it really highlights the fact that there's a lot of confusion on how to do HTML. And it really caught my attention, the block quote one they did and the site element. So it set me off experimenting about, you know, how, because we're trying to set up our own, if you like, design system and have a consistent way of marking things up. And so I went on a bit of a journey.
Yeah, sorry about that. All of that with me sort of DMing you on Blue Sky and set you off on a complete laundry list of things to cover. So apologies about that, but hopefully there's some useful content in here. Shall we switch to your screen? Do you want to do that?
Yeah, let's do that. Okay. We've got a lot of notes to get through actually here. I'll be largely reading these out, I think, because the research has been done.
Yep.
So let's talk about, so we caught this one, don't quote us on this. Oh, I should mention as well, I'll put a little note, it actually is already in there, that another reason for doing this is that the state of HTML 2025 is still open as a survey. So, you know, I haven't done it myself, but I will.
No, I took a quick look at it. I didn't fill it out, but I will come back and fill it out. It's not a long enterprise. It's fairly quick, but obviously somebody somewhere needs to know where we're all at. Useful to fill out, I would have thought. So we'll provide the link in the show notes, I guess.
Yeah, it's down there in my notes. So for those who are on YouTube, you'll be able to follow along with our notes. So I put first where we use quotes. So in testimonials for credibility and social proof. We use them in blog comments for engagement. Effectively, where user submissions are a quote of some form.
Yep.
In pull quotes for style and highlighting. I'm not sure. Do you know what, when I say pull quotes, does that mean anything to you? Do you have an expectation?
No, I'm basically imagining the things that you've described previously. So to me, a pull quote is a block quote. I genuinely wouldn't have known what the difference was.
Yeah. It's all right. It's just interesting. We'll move on to this one, because there's an article by Andy Clark where his interpretation of a pull quote is different to what I think, you know, I'm talking about here. But generally, it's a self-quote, I think, where we put it usually in an article where there's this big thing that gives you some styling and gives you some highlight of text that's to come. So it's it's duplicate content. And we use it in articles I've made an error there, to support our arguments often.
I mean, it's fairly widely used throughout the web. I think the place that I see it most is comments on blogs and things like that are kind of out of fashion, aren't they, these days? But I see it all over on testimonials. You know, you somehow want to, I don't know, link the words to the image or the person's name or something. And in order to do that, you adopt this different style and maybe some iconography around it. And
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, this is the interesting bit, really, or what we're going to get stuck on, the difficulties with semantic HTML. So we have we have the block quote element, the Q element for inline quotations. We have the cite element, which Hayden Pickering says really ought to be called citation rather than cite. But the thing is with this, the specifications have changed over time and they don't entirely line up with the design patterns that we use. And after reading Hayden Pickering's article, I also stumbled across Michelle Barker's article, which says exactly what I experienced. I've been doing block quotes wrong. Through listening to or reading his article, she kind of realized that, and I've got it up over here. Mm-hmm. And there was quite a lot of, and this has helped me look into this more, because there's a lot of comments here on that by some really quite clever people. She's a very clever person as well. She writes some of the MDM we've mentioned before articles.
Yeah. And there was me saying comments were dead. And
yeah, no, there's a load here on this topic. I think it's particularly popular. Yeah. And also she's actually using 11T as well on that.
Oh, interesting.
Add in our comments herself. Yeah, so that was quite interesting. But I think a lot of the change is due to the fact that the official HTML specifications are with the Web Hypertext Applications Technology Working Group.
Easy for you to say.
No.
WUG?
WG, I think, because it's, you know, the working group. So we'll call it WOT. I don't know how people say it, but we'll say WOT Working Group, I think, will be easy. So what they tell us through their documentation, which I've got over here, is, get back, that quote elements are for external sources only.
Oh.
So we should only be, so if we're using those, if we're using a block quote, it should be for someone else's comment, not our own. But presumably, because it's not spelled out, this is to the page, the page level rather than the domain level. I'm not sure. That's unclear.
Okay.
The site attribute, attribute being the site equals quotation mark, should be where you put a URL to that source of the quote.
Okay.
And it's invisible to humans and most screen readers. But the visible site element, the one, you know, the actual tag itself, is for the title of creative works only. And there's another element of this, that the cite element shouldn't be included in the quote element. So it shouldn't be within the tags of our block quote. So
there's a lot more depth to this than I imagined. That's rules upon rules upon rules. Well, not rules as such, recommendations, I guess. But nevertheless, I did not know that there was that level of granularity. So that's fascinating.
It is, and it's also quite confusing as well, because some of this comes in. So this idea that it's only for the title of creative works only rather than an author comes only after HTML5. I mean, I know that's been around for a long time. So there has been changes over time, and it's, you know, disputed. I think Jeremy Keith is one person who was trying to argue against that at the time. Anyway, I'm going into things that we don't need to. And the last point that I got here is that the block quote is a section in root. So it marks a distinct part of content, but is not part of the document's outline in the way that section elements such as a side or article or nav are. So with screen readers, they will be able to look at different makeup of a page or something by looking to those section elements. But it is still something distinct. So what I wrote down here is that it means that we should not use quotation elements for self-quoting pull quotes. And that's what I generally think a pull quote is, something where you are referencing something within your own document to stylize it and say, here's a bit of a teaser of what's to come. So we shouldn't be using, you know, the block quote tag really for our pull quotes. We shouldn't use the cite element for authors of quotes. And the last point on it is that citations are often from the quote, which is not ideal for accessibility because, again, it's Hayden Pickering who picks up on how uncomfortable that is, because it's a little bit, I think, he does make this example, but it's a little bit like how if you have on a blog archive page these read more buttons that you have, which are separate to, or links separate to the description, then it's very difficult. It's out of context with it. So I think that's a similar thing happening. But really, that's what we're encouraged to do if we go with what WG.
Have you managed to memorize that in your head now, such that if you were just writing out HTML and you were trying to deploy citations, block quotes, and so on, have you got that cascade of things figured out, or would you have to go back to that and say, which example does it fit into here?
Well, I think I've got it sorted out now. Yeah, that's good. What I'm trying to do for this, so that we can have something is, you know, is the NoScript show's way of doing it, I think. But this is the next thing. I mean, I put it on my notes here that this is where it gets really difficult, because it's hard to find consistent advice. So we have many expert sources, and I've only actually put one in here. And that is, let me just go back here, is the HTML5 doctor, which is supposed to be the place to really get, you know, to learn all your stuff. Well, it kind of says different things to watch. So that becomes a problem. And we also have as well, you know, with WordPress as well, it's quite interesting, because if we go to WordPress.com and it looks at its quote block there, so it works against it as well, because what it literally says is that you can use this, you know, it will add in your citation will be the author, and there's nothing on that. So, and the citation was in with the block quote. So technically, according to what WG, what WordPress does on there, and there's a code example on here. I mean, it calls no problems for, and this will make sense for, there's an article here looking at the block quotes by Amber Hines, who's a big accessibility person in WordPress. And she sees no issue with how that does it. It thinks it's doing it semantic. And I think you'll understand why she doesn't see an issue with this one.
Yeah.
Maybe she's not looked into it, but let's have a look. If we go here. So there is that side of it. So technically, these experts there and this platform is wrong according to the present specifications. But also, when we start to get to experts like Hayden Pickering in his article, what he suggests is a get around the fact with, let me just go to his posts for those who can see it. So in terms of accessibility, he has a problem with the idea that you would put the citation separate to the quote, because it's not programmably linked together.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So his way around this is to put everything in a figure. So you have a figure, then a block quote, and then you have a fig caption, which contains your citation within
there. Citations in there, yeah.
So that's his approach. However, then we come to Adrian Rosilli, who's one of the big players when it comes to accessibility, who's gone and tested all the different ways that a screen reader will read these different ways of doing it.
Oh, interesting. Okay, yep.
Yeah, so his own approach is to not do that. What he recommends is, because it's so verbose for screen readers, all the popular ones, to read out fig, not to do that. So he goes with block quote, and then he puts in a footer where he puts his citation and then closes the block quote.
Well,
So that's his way as an accessibility expert who doesn't, I mean, let me say that all of these people say, this is how they've dealt with the situation, not necessarily this is the way to do it. I don't think anybody feels confident in what rules we have at the moment. So anyway, you can see a contradiction there. So you can go two different routes on that. And let's
see. Gosh, it's really prizing open a whole discipline.
I know.
Isn't that fascinating? Yeah.
I think attention is going to HTML a lot more at the moment. It's been on CSS, but we need to get these fundamentals right. And finally, the one that I think we're effectively going to use is the W3C design system. So if I just move on to this one. So it's similar to Adrian Rosilli in the sense that there's no fig with this one. It's put in a block quote, and then it's adding a footer.
Yeah.
Because this is a section in root, it's perfectly fine to add in a footer element and ending it with a block quote, so if you like. But what they point out in the considerations, they point out the fact that, and this is really where it all kind of goes wrong, there's been some leniency when HTML was decided by the W3C itself on their own documentation. But since, I think, 2019, this has gone to the Living Standards Working Group, which is the WG, and not everything that has been changed there has transferred over. So our official documentations may not be up to speed, if you like. So this is where we get some of the confusion.
Yeah, I was going to say officially then, it's really confusing. Officially, it's confusing.
Officially, it's confusing. Yeah, yeah, when you've got brilliant experts like that. But I think the way for us to deal with it, and again, I went and had a little search around just what people did. Well, interestingly enough, to search around what some of the people say they do and what they actually do as well doesn't always match. So they've changed over time, like we will be changing over time. And when we go and look around, there's not much in the way of the big design systems out there for this specifically, but there is a lot of sort of local government design systems out there. So if you go and look at them, again, they're all different variations.
Gosh. Yeah, it's a spaghetti, isn't it?
It is. And I just think it is due to this. And in fact, there's a point that was made on Michelle Barker's I've been doing block quotes wrong. I think the last quote on here. Yes, this is by Amelia Bellamy Rhodes. And I know of her. She's on the working group for SVGs, I think. So I've seen her name for this one. And that's it, how she's sort of spelling it out. How the W3C spec was modified, if you allow, to be a little bit more flexible to do what Jeremy Keith, I think, years back wanted to do, to be able to contain authors. So when I was pointing out that sort of WordPress has basically got it wrong in terms of the official spec, you can understand why it's like that, because... Yeah. We were generally leaning towards that, although I think, you know, it would be better if you did have a little footer to separate the citation within the block quote. But so that's really, I think, what we'll do. I think as we don't have the kind of standing and influence like people like Adrian Rosalie, Hayden Pickering, or Michelle Barker, I think we'll try and stick to the WG rules. Just okay. To get some consistency, yeah.
Yeah.
And until we're told otherwise.
Okay, yeah, until they've finished that bun fight and sorted it out, frankly.
Yeah.
Okay. So, testimonials now then, is it?
Yeah, so rationalizing the code. So this took me some time to kind of work out so exactly how we're laying things out. So a typical pattern, and I've got an example up here on that sort of little demo site I made first, which we'll use at some point. A typical pattern for a testimonial might be something where we have what someone said about us, maybe a picture of the author and their name, and maybe a link to their organization or one or the other. And that's a sort of common pattern here. So that would be straightforward. What we're doing here with something like that is that we'd be putting it all in a block quote and using W3Cs and putting all of the stuff where their names, their image, their where they work or their company or their representative, would all go in that footer within a block quote. So that would be fine. There is the circumstance where sometimes you see with this pattern, you will see a header as well as the quote. Sometimes, you know, there's just a sort of summary of what the quotation says.
Oh, interesting. I'm trying to remember when I've seen that, but I can't conjure it up. Okay.
Well, I think sometimes if you're taking from a source that does that, some reviews do allow you to put a title and then...
Like a too long didn't read kind of thing where you summarize the quote. Is that what
you might just, you know...
Like stunning and then the quote, which is... Yeah, okay, got it.
They might just pull out the main, because we know people read titles. And some of the review... things are set up, which is another point actually I should mention, really, because just thinking about the SEO perspective on this one, when it comes to testimonials, we can't really use that review markup, the rich text or the schema for that one, because it can't be self-serving. So we can't say something, you can't use other people's quotes about us to self-serve. So for testimonials, that doesn't become an issue. Anyway, this did make me think about that pattern. So if it was a pattern where the header was part of the quote that was submitted by the user, then I would just put a header 3, probably, that would be the likely one, and then it would be the block quote in the block quote itself.
Got it.
But if it was one where we decided to sum up their block quote, then what I would do is wrap the whole thing in an article.
Okay.
Yeah, again, this is another one where it's another Hayden Pickering topic where he talks about article. And I think it's from him that I got this idea. Because when I thought of article as a tag, I tended to think of just blog posts.
Yeah, that's where my head goes. In my head, it doesn't land as a container for more broad stuff, even though I know it should be.
Yeah. And I think if we look at the actual spec for it, I mean, I won't pull it up here at the moment, but it actually sort of says it's any sort of standalone element that you could use on its own. Yeah. So an article would be right for this. And I think it was Hayden Pickering or something who said, you know, and I think this is a better way of looking at it. And now I think of it as like an article of clothing.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Do you know what I mean? It's like a pair of gloves or something. They stand aside, but they're not the entire thing. And because we can use, because I think it's any sort of standalone. So I think it would be suitable. So that would be the semantic way. And I've sort of put the code here. Sorry for those who were just listening. But basically, it would be the surrounding wrapper, if you like, would be the article tag. Within that, then I'd put our header, because we're making that up ourselves, in that would be the block quote with its footer with the reviewer's name. And then it would close with the block quote. And then finally, the article wrapper. So that would
be the
way.
You've got an article with children of a heading and a block quote. And then inside the block quote, you've got your content, paragraph, footer, and so on. Interesting. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I was wondering about comments as well. I mean, not that we've got them, but we're going to have to get
like
to
blog
that.
Posts, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So when we're inviting people to user generated, where they would fit in. And I think the official specification tells us this, what we can use. And that is a blog entry on a blog entry on a site that accepts user submitted comments could represent the comments as article elements nested within the article element for the blog entry. So I wouldn't be using block quotes for that kind of quoting. We would just stick them in nested articles.
Articles. So you'd have articles nested within articles. Within an article. Okay.
Yeah. So I think that's how it's interesting because, I mean, I think later we'll try and put some form of commenting system on our own site. So I think, you know, it's interesting to see.
Yeah, especially given the user-submitted nature of things. I mean, obviously with modern CMSs, you've got the capacity to, you know, put things into a pending state so they don't make it there. But if you're worried about SEO and things like that, then user submitted content might really run against what you're trying to do, or I don't know, mention your commercial rivals with links and things like that. So there may be something there.
Yeah. I mean, I did look at Michelle Barker's, because I was there, I thought I'd poke around at the code there. And I noticed that her articles, which obviously she said to create the whole HTML for that one, were put in a block quote, which is sort of seems appropriate for it. But when you think about it, people just shove all sorts of stuff in there, which isn't necessarily a quote. They might be quoting somebody else. They wouldn't fit the quote. So I actually think, and when I looked at examples of at least classic WordPress sites that I've seen, I think most people have marked it up in the way that what WG would suggest there by using the Raptors articles in the ones that I've seen.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think that's what we would do in that case. So pull quotes. Again, what WG has given us, and I'm quoting here, is the aside element can be used for typographical effects like pull quotes or sidebars. So it literally mentions where we can use the aside.
The aside being a sidebar.
Yeah, well, because they've specified pull quote. So if you like, pull quote is that duplicate of content that we put on somewhere and style separately. It's an aside to our main article.
Oh, that's pull quote, is it? Because at the beginning we talked about, so a pull quote is where you literally are pulling something out of the article. It's duplicate from an SEO point of view.
Yes.
But you want to highlight it. So it's like when you're reading a newspaper sometimes or a magazine, sometimes they'll just, I don't know, it's eye-catching, isn't it? They'll throw that one sentence which kind of encapsulates the next two paragraphs as an easy way. It's almost like a heading. It's kind of navigates you into what's coming or what has just been said.
Yes.
Okay. So I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I mean, block quote isn't appropriate. That's what people have used, of course, because of the confusion, but an aside seems to be the thing to do. I mean, no one really knows, but that seems the most. But there is an interesting debate that goes back. Jeremy Keefe set one off in 2016. Got tons and tons of comments asking the question, why do pull quotes exist on the web? And it is a great question, given that if you're a screen reader, and in his own post, it kind of gives that example. If you was to read it with a screen reader, it's terrible because it's got this pull quote out and then it repeats the next thing, you know.
So yeah.
You're just hearing this constant repetition with no visual clues to know what the heck is going on. Why is this article repeating itself? So there's that difficulty. There's the difficulty. Some people, although I don't think duplicate content is an issue for SEO, but some people have been conscious about that. But also, you know, you do all this work to pull quotes, generally they are pulling slightly out of the main body of content.
You mean physically? Physically, they usually
pull to one side.
They do. Right, that's right. And if you're a left to right reader, then it's slightly to the right. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're really, really difficult to code. We'll move on to that when we talk about CSS. But you know, a lot of people have had to employ JavaScript in order to sort of make this thing that's out of the main body move to where you want it to do. And then it doesn't look all that impressive necessarily when you get down to smaller devices where you can't see that it's pulling out. You've literally only got the room for your text.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so there is that. What did I put here for regular quotes? Okay, so our format, I guess, in, unless you disagree on any of this one, I think to keep things easier for sighted and non-sighted users, not non-sighted as I've written here, it seems, I'll put an S in there later, to make sense to cite before the quote. So I think when we're doing our articles, generally it's better to sort of, you know, you'll have your paragraph that will be running, you'll put the name of the author, and then reference their article, song, presentation, whatever it is, as the title of the work with a link to that one, and that will be in the citation. And then, you know, he or she says, and then it will just be in the bot quote doing it that way. So if you're putting, as I think most people when they were thinking about HTML spec were thinking, when you use a block quote, you're quoting, generally you might introduce it first before you do the block quote. So in general, you know, general blog posts, that would be my format, I think.
I guess it's almost serving as a little signpost of, okay, this is why it's now, okay, it's out of the flow of the normal text, but here's a flag saying this is what it is. This is, as you've written there, the name of the work. It's like a mini title. It's alerting you to, here's something different.
Yes.
Then the quote comes afterwards, where if you had it the other way around, the site at the end of it after the block quote, then it would just go straight into that. It would feel like an ordinary part of text, and then the name of the title would randomly come and you wouldn't know where that started or stopped. Okay, yeah, that's interesting.
And because I think that's
presentationally, you often see it differently, don't you? You'd see the quote first encapsulated in some container, which is, I don't know, a rectangle or something to differentiate it, different color background or something. Then the person, let's go for person's name. Or no, the name of the work might be at the bottom in an old font or something like that. And you can capture that because you can see it all. But if you're doing it with a screen reader, that's all back to front because you need that indication at the beginning. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I think the pattern's different. And I think most of the haste, this is my understanding of it, is that the when writing out the spec there, they've generally been thinking of written text and articles where you might, you know, you'll introduce as part of your copy who the author and what work it's citing before you move to the block quote. Where it all gets thrown out and we get into trouble is when we start to think about this design pattern and the testimonial, where we tend to put the quote up front
and
the author after, and it doesn't kind of work. So anyway, I think we've solved that.
Yeah,
there is another interesting point, again, from Hayden Pickering on his article, and that is, you know, when you use the, we've been talking about block quote all the time, but there's the, you know, there's the Q tag, the inline quote. And for those reading the notes here, I will correct these later because it says
it's okay.
yeah, he points out the fact that the term block quotation precedes the block quote element ever existing in HTML. And the Chicago Manual of Style recommends that a block quotation is over 100 words. So, and there are some examples, as he points out, in the specifications which have very short quotes and they use block quotes. So it still remains quite unclear when, at least semantically, you should be using block quote over the Q.
Interesting. You know? Yeah.
It's a visual thing in the end, isn't it? It ends up, you say block quote because it's basically, style-wise, it's taken up the whole block where it's not in line. But, you know, semantically, I don't know, there isn't any clear guidance on which you should be using.
No, interesting that we reference things like the Chicago Manual of Style. I love that.
Well, that's Hayden.
No, but just the fact that there is a Chicago Manual of Style. I think I need that in my life. I don't have enough style, basically. And it's got to be over 100 words. Oh, fascinating. Okay. All right.
Yeah. So anyway, I guess our aim of our show was to try and simplify things. And I think I've just made things about as complex as they
possibly could be. Well, no, you've highlighted complexity that all of us have ignored, basically. You know, I think it would have been fair to say that most of that, nobody's prizing off the lid to peer inside that jar just because you sort of rely on it. Well, especially in the WordPress world, you rely on a block increasingly to just take this work for you. You put a block quote block in and you assume it's doing everything correctly, whereas in fact, perhaps you need to roll your own or certainly be thinking about the context in which you're using it, be it a block quote, a testimonial, a citation, whatever it may be. There's a lot more to it. Honestly, way more to that than I thought. So that's fascinating.
Yeah, and I would be really interested. I mean, if anybody does have any thoughts or spot anything that I've completely missed on this or want to change our mind, then I'd love to hear on that one. But I think what we've decided to do on this as a design system sort of makes sense because we're not breaking any rules. I think the interesting thing is about the cite element. It doesn't seem to have any purpose. It's there for semantics, but it's not read out by screen readers. Certainly, when we're using that as the attribute, nobody sees it. So what's it there for? It's you know, the full use of this isn't in place. But perhaps one day, if we all do the right thing, maybe it might be useful.
Is there any more on that page that you want to go? No, you just got some links there at the bottom, styling quotes part two and what have you. So are we wrapping
it's a wrap
up? Yeah,
it is a wrap,
as they say.
Yeah, we'll just move on, and this will be quick, I think, just part two, because we talked all about the HTML and setting that up. We'll just quickly talk about how we might go about styling some of these.
Okay. So in which case, if you want to follow along with the show notes that David's been displaying there, including typographical corrections, you can go and find those as well. Then head to noscript.show, and then this episode is 24. So /24, the numerals 24. Go and check that out. And then there will be a corresponding episode in which this is demonstrated. David gives it a bash, and that is noscript.show/learn/1515. So those two things will correspond and overlap. So we will see you then. So shall I hit stop on this recording and
we'll go into the next.
All right. See you soon.
Thanks, Nathan. Bye.